we're going to start posting each podcast episode that you see on YouTube a week earlier on Patreon. So feel free to join for early access to all episodes. Plus, we're going to start doing bonus podcast episodes every week. So if you want to join Patreon, it's patreon.com/concretevideos. Feel free to go check it out or just get it a week late here on YouTube. Hello, Woiled. On this episode of the podcast, we're joined again by Matthew B. Cox. And on this one, we go deep into the story of a man by the name of Frank Amadeo. For those of you who don't already know, Frank Amadeo is a megalomaniac hell-bent on world domination. He's also the founder of Mirabilis Ventures, a conglomerate of over 70 companies in various industries, including consulting, corporate security, manufacturing, employee leasing, and hotel ownership, with over 40,000 employees and nearly $1 billion in annual revenue. The story of Frank Amadeo is part Tom Clancy, part Ian Fleming novel, and 100% insanity. Since childhood, Frank claims to have been hearing voices in his head telling him that he was meant to be emperor of the world. He's absolutely certifiably mentally ill. Specifically, he suffers from bipolar disorder. Frank is a unique high-functioning, subclassification, rapid-cycling, axis 1 bipolar with narcissistic, antisocial, psychotic features. Simply put, his mood shifts constantly between manic and depressive episodes, during which delusions of manic themes occur. That being said, Frank is a highly successful attorney who managed to continue his law practice from behind bars, and in fact, he was even able to knock 12 years off Matthew Cox's prison sentence. On this podcast, Matt explains every detail from how Frank was about to purchase a fleet of F-16 fighter jets for $60 million to how he almost took over the Congo in 2006. That's the hook. Please enjoy this podcast with Matthew Cox. Dun, welcoming dun, dun, dun. The crowd favorite, Matthew B. Cox. Good evening, Matt. Thanks for coming back to the show. Yep. Look what we got you today. Some studio pins. Mm-hmm. So, Matt.
Artsy.
What
yes.
are we going to talk about today? What is the title of your new book?
All right. I'm glad you asked. It's Insanity. The bizarre story of a bipolar megalomaniac's insane plan for total world domination. I think I went a little overboard on the subtitle, but love you know. It. No? It's perfect. I know. It is.
You could
perfect.
Do more. Describes honestly. Very well.
You think? I could have written the... Yeah, a small paragraph.
So this is one of your most popular stories. It's a fan favorite about the one and only Frank Amadeo, the bipolar, schizophrenic, sociopath, megalomaniac. With
you're sociopath. You said sociopath.
Okay. You're gonna well, what's the actual title for him?
He is a rapid cycling. He's an Axis 1 rapid cycling bipolar with features of schizophrenia. Yeah.
And how did you first meet this guy?
He came into the prison, I don't know when it was, 2009 or 10, 2009 or 10, yeah, 2009, in the low, and he was all drugged up for like a year or so. Took him like a year to convince the staff to take him off of the psychotropic, whatever, the meds.
Yeah.
And they took him off the meds, which helped him kind of clear up his thinking, and he started fighting his case. Of course, by the time they took him off his meds, he was time-barred from actually being able to fight his conviction. Because you only have 1 year, so by the time they take him off the meds, and he's able to actually kind of comprehend what's going on,
yeah,
it's been past a year, and it's too late to start fighting your case. You only have a year. So anyway, he ends up fighting a ton of other inmates' cases, and my case is one of the cases that he fought.
He was like the go-to lawyer for all the inmates at Coleman.
Yeah, he was a real trained lawyer. He's a real lawyer.
Is he a good lawyer?
He's an amazing lawyer. I'm serious. What do you mean?
How much time did he get you knocked off?
12 years. That they didn't want to give me. That they absolutely didn't want to give me. And I talked to multiple lawyers on the street that said, you don't have a shot. There's nothing you can do. And yet he managed to get file two 2255s, get the court to appoint me two attorneys. Both attorneys flew down and said, you know, what are you doing? You know, and they were like, oh, you wrote this motion, but you need to take the police. You need to take
who else's case did he work that he got a bunch of time off of?
A ton of guys. I mean, like, I got a list of guys in the book.
What about Devaroli?
No, Devaroli got 6 years. He got 2 4-year terms.
Okay.
And it was actually part of it.
Devaroli, for people listening who don't know who he is, he's the guy that the movie War Dogs is based off of.
War Dogs.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
Mm. Yeah.
Jonah Hill made Devaroli look
and
soft
and
cuddly.
You were hanging out with him in prison.
Yes. I wrote a memoir for, I wrote Devaroli's memoir, which is called Once a Gunrunner.
And we're talking to him. He might come on the show. He might be a guest soon.
He may. We keep.
He's scared. He's scared of being in the limelight.
He is. He doesn't want to. Does he laugh like Jonah Hill does in that movie? Did you meet? You met him?
Oh, yeah, he spent years with him.
I'll bet you I spent 100 hours with him.
Does he laugh like that?
Never showed up on time. Not one time did he ever show up. Never, never. You couldn't let him walk off for like, hey, I'll be back in 20 minutes. Never see him again. Got to go hunt him down. He'd turn around. You'd walk in his cell and turn around and look at you. Go, oh shit! Oh! And then he, all right, I'm coming. Did he? I don't know. He doesn't. I don't remember how Jonah Hill laughed, but Devaroli laughed.
He has that real high pitched laugh. It was like really weird. And
no, Devaroli laughs like just like in your face, like. I mean, just like he's crazy. It's great.
What are his conditions? Does he have any of these conditions that the emperor has?
He's bipolar.
He's bipolar.
Sure. Bipolar, narcissistic, arrogant. Pretty much same stuff I have. But
so how long have you been working on this book about Frank Amadeo, the Emperor?
I've been writing
why do you call him the Emperor?
All right, can I give you well, you told me
I want to know why everyone calls him the Emperor.
Because since he has been in his teens, he has believed that he's hearing the voice of God tell him he is preordained to be emperor of the world. Now, lots of people think that. Lots of people say that, right? Not lots of people. What am I saying? Lots of people. Lots of homeless people say that. Like, crazy people say that. The difference is, you know, he graduates high school. He goes on to college. He ends up getting a law degree. He becomes a venture capitalist. According to the IRS, he has over 70, or not IRS, this is the FBI. According to the FBI, he has over 70 companies. He committed a major fraud, and he was hiring, they said, he has hired retired FBI agents, IRS agents, and Secret Service agents to work for him. He had several, like, small Blackwater-style companies. He puts this whole thing together, and his whole purpose for building this whole conglomerate is to ultimately take over the world. He tried to buy fighter jets. I got pictures of him with the fighter jets. I've got, look, it's not just that, bro.
Jesus Christ.
Look at this.
This dude's gnarly.
This is, well, I'm looking at pictures of this goofy fat man, Frank Amadeo, standing next to a fighter jet with his foot up on the ladder, like he's posing next to a fucking sports car.
And one of the other CEOs of his company is the guy that's sitting in the cockpit. They fly in. I talk about it. They fly in like two airplanes. I forget what that was, an F-18 or F-22 or something. They fly him in, but he's actually trying to buy like a squadron, like 24 F-14s and F-15s.
How much are those planes?
I don't know. The total purchase was like 60... Okay, we're not going to answer that. The total purchase of the planes was $60 million. So I don't know what a used F-15 goes for, right. But if it's 30 years old, and that, you know, the technology is 30-year-old technology, but they're still flying them all over the Middle East and in Africa and you know, all over Europe. They're still, you know, Israel's still flying F-15s, F-16s. He's trying to buy F-14s and F-15s.
Did Frank Amadeo give you permission to publish this book about him?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he participated in the writing of the book. He participated in the writing of the
synopsis. Does he know you published it?
I don't know if he knows I published it.
So you think it's better to ask? It's just that it's like ask for forgiveness instead of for permission type deal with the book.
I don't need permission.
Oh, you don't need his permission to publish it?
How do I need a permission? You participated. You knew I was writing a book.
Because it's about him, right?
I was writing a book. You gave me permission. You knew I was writing a book about you. You participated. If you talk to a reporter and suddenly 2 weeks later there's an article about you talking to the reporter, are you going to say, it's freedom of speech?
Yeah, but I just feel like it'd be so scary to, you know, you said how good of a fucking lawyer he is. He got 12 years off your sentence. Like, don't fuck with a guy that's that good of a lawyer, because
my God, listen,
I don't know. It just seems like a sketchy thing to do. It seems like maybe that could be a concern.
I feel pretty confident about the Constitution of the United States giving me permission, though.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Okay.
So if you were in public and you videoed someone, two guys getting into a fight, and you put it on YouTube, are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, you are.
You are. Right. He actively participated. Actively participated
star,
in the book. I mean, told me, gave me all of this information. He gave me all this.
What is all this information you have over here? What is all this paperwork?
I mean, this is an FBI. This is an FBI 302. Talks about his company. He talks about how he's hiring all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What is this? What is this? I don't know, man. I didn't really have time. Oh, these are articles about the Congo where he was when he tried to take. He tried to do try to pull off a political coup in the Congo by backing a political candidate. This is an article in the Herald Tribune. This is one from the New York Times.
Wow.
This is
the New York Times.
This is one from World News.
You've made it now.
NBC. This is, oh, listen to this. So I looked up private military.
2006, this New York Times article was from. 32 charged in coup plot being sent home. Congo said it was deporting 32 foreigners, including three Americans that it charged last week with planning a coup before national elections in July.
Can you read it like Michael Barbaro?
Who's Michael Barbaro?
The guy from The Daily.
Oh.
That is.
No, I can't do that. I'm not even going to try to do that. A coup before national elections in July, saying it would have been it would have taken too long to prosecute them. Officials said the men, who also included 10 Nigerians, 19 South Africans, worked as security guards and were found with weapons. The American's employer, AQMI Strategy Corp of Orlando, Florida.
Acme. That's his company, Acme.
Acme Strategy Corp of Orlando, Florida, said they were providing security and campaign counseling for a candidate in the elections and were not carrying any weapons. A United Nations spokesman of Kinshasa?
Kinshasa.
The capital. Is that the capital of the Congo?
Mm-hmm.
Has said the organization believes the arrests are an attempt at political manipulation before the elections.
All right. So
interesting.
You can see that Acme Corporation.
Yeah, that's his company.
Frank Amadeo.
Okay.
It was actually called Acme Corporation?
Acme, but spelled A-Q-M-I.
Right.
Q. Does he know Q?
Is he in Q?
Is he QAnon?
So
that's a sign.
So
if anybody
I looked
is
up
Q,
private military companies, right? Dynotech and Blackwater and all those, right?
Yeah.
So right here, and this is this guy from Blackwater, the chairman of Blackwater, and this is everything. This is his company right here, is Acme Strategy Corp. That's Frank's company.
Wow.
Same company. So, I mean, so he had a bunch of, anyway, look, the point is that he was a lawyer. He actually was disbarred. What's wrong?
Nothing.
Yeah, what the fuck do you
I don't know what's
like
the deal.
For?
I don't know what the deal. What's going on?
Nothing. I was just looking at him. I can hear him mouth breathing from here.
I mean, I really only do like a short half chapter or chapter on his childhood. Him becoming, the CIA tried to recruit him. Did I tell you I interviewed a guy from the CIA? Yeah, I tried to give you the, I tried to get you to call him and bring him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
The CIA guy?
Yep, I remember him.
So I interviewed a CIA guy all about his
really?
Whole, oh, it's great.
What did the CIA guy have to say?
The guy was basically saying, because Amadeo said when he was about to graduate law school, the CIA came to him, and they were basically in the law school in Emory, and they were asking lawyers or about to be lawyers, that they were asking them to fill out, you know, to take tests to see if they wanted to be a CIA agent. He took it, and they came back, and they said, look, you know, we want to offer you a job. They offered him a job, but before Amadeo graduated, his father came down with esophagus cancer, like throat cancer, and so he couldn't do it. He had to, like, stay and take care of his father, so he never ended up doing it. He ended up getting a law degree. He became a bankruptcy attorney. He eventually ended up losing his license. You know, look, he's bipolar.
Yeah.
So he has fits of, he'll be kicking ass for 8 months or a year.
Yeah.
Go into a deep, deep depression for 4 or 5 days or a week and can't even get out of bed.
Really?
And the thing is, he's also, this is ridiculous, it's going to sound silly, he's hypersensitive to caffeine. So he, like, I would sit there and you're talking to him, he would drink a six pack of Coke. I probably drank 40 or 50 Cokes a day or Pepsis a day in prison. Constantly drinking them. to try and elevate himself so that he didn't slip into a depression, like a mood stabilizer. So,
yeah, but isn't that like the opposite of a mood stabilizer? Because you're just going to be fucking jacked on sugar, and then you're just going to crash.
I mean, maybe, but the fact is he's bipolar, so who knows? He's up there. Yeah. You understand? Look, we would be. I'm going to give you an example of what it's like being around him.
Maybe he's just like trying to fight through the depression part with the sugar.
Right. So he can feel it coming on. So he drinks four or five of these things, and it kicks him back up.
Okay.
So, literally, like the guy's brilliant, right? Mm-hmm. He's doing all this legal work in prison, but I mean. But I'm just going to give you an example of what it's like being around him.
Okay.
Just so that you understand that so we're all sitting at Stonehenge, which was this area in Coleman. We called it Stonehenge. We're all sitting around a concrete picnic table talking about law work.
Talking to your mic.
Talking about law work.
Yeah.
And suddenly, me, Pete, Donovan, Frank's there. They're all talking about law work, and I'm just sitting there, you know, listening. And Donovan says something, and all of a sudden Frank goes, "No. No, that's not going to stand. Absolutely not. No, I'm not going to let that happen. When my legions march on Washington, we will burn the Constitution and the president will bow it up my feet." And he sits there for a second and nobody says shit. Everybody just sits there and he goes, "Okay, we need to do a Johnson motion. So I'm going to need a 2255 form." And okay, Frank, I'll get you the 25. All right, Frank, do you need the... Yeah, there's some... Go ask Thomas in B3. Okay, I'll go right now and take it. And you walk off.
And like it never happened.
Right, and nobody says shit. Okay. It's just a momentary lapse of insanity.
So that's like a tick for him.
A tick? I don't know what a tick is. He's fucking crazy.
It's like people with Tourette's. Sometimes they freak out and they start cussing and spitting at people.
Have a spike. He might also be in that manic mode for 30 minutes where he's talking about... I mean, I've seen him tell drug dealers he's going to fucking chop off the heads of all of their fucking... of all their, like, associates, and he's going to anthrax their entire village. And, I mean, I had that one of the scene in the book where the guy's like, "Village? Frank, I'm from Palm Beach." And he goes, "Well, Palm Beach then!" and you're like...
He's going to anthrax Palm Beach?
I mean, he just... You know, and what's so funny is the stuff that happens in prison... What happened on the street is more insane, because I mean, he's literally trying to buy airplanes. He is actively trying to take over other countries. He steals nearly $200 million from the federal government, and this isn't me saying this. I've got the reports. There's news. You can look up Frank Amadeo, Frank Amadeo fraud, and the it comes right up. Nearly 200 million. They always say nearly because they start adding shit in. Really, it was about $182 million. I mean, as if that really matters. I'm just saying, once they start adding in all the fees and everything else, always say nearly 200 million. Regardless, it was $182 million is what his restitution is.
I'd vote for him. Can he run for president even though he was in?
Sure.
You could write him in.
He could run for president even though he was in prison?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Emperor.
I'd vote for him.
Emperor.
Listen,
do you think he'd let me and Luke be his campaign managers?
I would love to do his advertising.
A guy that thinks he's going to be emperor of the world, I'm not sure how much he's going to scrutinize anybody that supports him.
You're emperor, though, you need like somebody who's in charge of propaganda. I would love to take that on.
Me too.
We could do that. We could come up with the strongest campaign slogan for him. And
I'm telling you, emperor, Amadeo for emperor, 2024,
yeah. Forever.
Forever.
This
is good stuff.
I think I showed you. Didn't I show you some of these? These are fucking awesome.
What are you looking at? Pictures of him right now?
No.
So what's...
Yeah, it's amazing.
Come on, bro.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Look at that. What are you looking at right now? Describe it for me, Luke.
This looks like the best YouTube thumbnail I've ever seen. He is cut out in Photoshop with a pixel white stroke around him. He's crossing his arms like he's filming an HLN reality show. He's in the desert. There's missiles firing in the background. Amadeo for emperor. Quote, "I will anthrax your entire village."
Nice.
And then also signed off, quoted Frank Amadeo.
I fucking love that.
I got the fist of with it where it says, you know, Amadeo for emperor. It's got the fists.
That'd make a strong yard sign too.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
That should be the thumbnail for the podcast, honestly.
So what the fuck's his deal? He started out in his 20s going to law school, right? He wanted to become a lawyer.
Yeah, it's yeah, dude, you got it.
Good stuff. When did he go? When did he fly off the rails? I mean, he's in law school. He couldn't go to the CIA because his dad got cancer. He had to take care of his dad.
Right.
At what point does this all start to go sideways?
Well, you know, he ends up working for a Hyatt Legal Services, which is like a bankruptcy firm. It's, you know what it is? It's kind of like, it's like the people that do your taxes, right? Like, what is it? Century, who does your taxes? What's
like H&R Block?
Like H&R Block, but it's for bankruptcy. It was a company that started off. They were trying to do it. They had them all over the place. He goes in, he starts running the company, and he's doing great, and he ends up marrying this woman by the name of Claire, and so they get married. And you know, he said that basically he's like, I try to suppress my knowledge, and this is the thing, he always talked about it. Like Claire's always known about it, and even in high school, he said that everybody knew about it, and it was kind of like they just like laughed it off. It was kind of a quirky little thing. Was he, well, when I'm emperor, and they'd be like, emperor? And he goes, whoa, I'm going to be emperor of the world. And they'd be like, oh, okay, Frank. And they kind of laugh it off. Of course, you're a teenager. It's funny, but you're also brilliant. They're going to let it go. But it doesn't, it never subsides. It's a continuing thing. And people kind of accept it as being, you know, if you're kind of quirky and there's something weird about you, a little odd about you, but it's also kind of funny, you're going to let it go because I like you, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to let it go. Well, progresses. He ends up meets Claire. They get married. He tries to be a normal citizen. He eventually drops into a depression, goes into the hospital, comes out. And this is back in the 80s and 90s, and nobody's really thinking depression. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not really, what's wrong with him? He won't get out of bed. He's sick. He's tired. He's lethargic.
Yeah. What?
Stream's crashed.
Give it a second. All right. That's all right. We can keep rolling. Just keep rolling.
So, yeah, so he
as long as it's still recording.
Yeah, we are.
All right.
What ends up happening, okay, let me, I'm trying to think of where the, this one is. Okay, so what ends up happening is he ends up getting in trouble because, according to Amadeo, I'm not sure that the.
So, wait, where did all these notions of being emperor of the world come from? Like, that didn't just come out of thin air. Where do you think he got that from?
No, I
do you think he was reading some science fiction books when he was a kid? And like,
well, I mean, he was a big fan of Star Trek, but I don't know that
he was.
That, yeah, but I mean, so was I. I don't think I'm taking over the world. I think he's bipolar with features of schizophrenia. I think there's
had to have gotten that whole emperor story from somewhere.
Not necessarily. A lot of bipolars or people with schizophrenia. He's not schizophrenic. He's If he was schizophrenic, he wouldn't even be functional. Right. You know, he just has aspects of it. So what I don't know where that came from. I don't know if it's just a prolonged florid delusion that has continued his whole life, which is essentially what the psychiatrists are saying. Yeah. Because I actually have his evaluation of capacity from the government right here, where it's got all the the doctors and psychiatrists that actually look here. Here's the emperor of the world right here, Frank Amadeo. This is from the federal government ordered that report, and he had to be interviewed by several psychiatrists. And there's quotes in there taken from Frank and taken from the psychiatrists, if that makes sense. Talking about how since he was a child, he's believed this. It's been a constant. So eventually what ends up happening is he ends up getting in trouble and he goes to jail. He actually, listen, he's supposed to get 24 months probation. What?
People are saying PayPals are sent.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
PayPals are sent?
People are paying.
I mean, if people are paying, you got to put your address.
What did they pay for? Who paid for what?
You got to be able to get in touch
notification?
With you. I mean, I got something. I just saw something light up.
Check your phone.
I got $1.99.
$1.99? Who sent you that?
This is a guy I know. He's wow. Anyway, he said for coffee.
All right.
So what happens is I don't even know where I was.
Neither do I. Oh, the psychiatrist. Report. He's one of the psychiatrists.
Yeah, that was a psychiatrist report. But oh, he gets in trouble. He eventually gets in trouble. And listen, he's supposed to get 24 when this whole
What
thing,
are you in trouble for?
The whole company, basically, he went and started his own bankruptcy company.
Okay.
So he takes on a ton of, he's got a few partners, takes on a ton of clients, and he ends up going into a depression. They hospitalize him. By the time he gets out of the hospital and goes back to work, it's been weeks. maybe a month, or I think it's been over a month or so. And basically his partners couldn't handle the volume, and there are all these complaints, and he ends up getting disbarred because he doesn't even show up for the trial. And what happens is money that had been collected by them had been, he says, that he wasn't in charge of the account and they had used the money for bills or whatever. Basically, it was commingling of funds, and several people lost money, and he ended up getting disbarred. Now, I don't know what the police report says. The police report basically says that there was money placed into an account and that he essentially used the money to pay bills and that he was part of the whole thing and understood it. And then when he went got sick, it caught up with them, whatever. My point is, oh, Nancy Grace. You don't know who Nancy Grace is?
No.
Yes.
Fuck Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace.
Oh, man.
Nancy Grace was the prosecutor. Grace. She couldn't prosecute him, so she ended up giving it to the U.S. attorney. Nancy Grace is she's got her own CNN show where she's like a 40, 50-year-old white chick with blonde hair.
She's like Alex Jones, but a lady.
Really angry. Really? Oh, vicious. So she can't prosecute him, but she hands it over to the U.S. attorney.
Democrat or Republican?
I have no idea. Oh, I'm sure she's got to be what?
She's mad.
She's just angry. She's an angry woman.
I don't know what she is. She's just mad.
She's on CNN.
So she ends up handing it to the U.S. attorney. U.S. attorney indicts him. He's supposed to get 24 months. When they go to interview several people, they interview his wife, and his wife says he's got to go to jail. She says, you can't give him 24 months probation. She goes, he'll never learn his lesson. He's got to go to jail.
Wow.
So they say, well, you're going to jail. So they send him to what's called shock boot camp. They used to have this boot camp, and you go there for like 9 months or something. They let you out. So he goes there for 9 months, and when he gets out, this is in the middle of the Soviet Union has fallen apart. This is probably around 2000 something, and he ends up starting a company called Mirabilis that is based on a thesis that he had written, which is called Capital Genesis. Mm-hmm. Capital Genesis is his plan for world domination. And if you actually listen to him explain the whole thing, it's essentially Spectre from like James Bond. It's a whole slew of these companies. It's great because the CIA agent in the book breaks it all down. Mm-hmm. It's all and so does Amadeo. He's like, it's basically Spectre. It's all of these companies that feed off of one another. So we all own these companies, and we all give each other favorable contracts so that we can grow bigger and bigger, and we have a shared agenda, and we're going to buy up all these other companies and just continue to grow and grow and grow, and we all have a shared goal. And he said the same concept is being used right now in the
kind of like his own little government.
Right, and ultimately he'll be able to spread throughout the entire—
What's so funny?
Kyle Roberts said Nancy Grace titty popped out on Dancing with the Stars, and that thing looked like a burnt salami.
Fuck. We need to get Kyle Roberts live in here.
Anyway, he ends up getting out. He starts this company. He starts buying up.
So he owns all these companies that are all buying, serving each other.
He keeps go. He goes in. He buys these companies that are failing. So he goes in and he buys the company. He either bankrupts it, or he might put it into bankruptcy and restructure the company, or maybe he bankrupts it completely, pays off the debtors, or maybe he restructures it and turns it around. But he's able to use the bankruptcy laws to his advantage. Mm-hmm. So as the companies grow and grow, and this is what's interesting. There are transcripts. Where, look, he's always said, like, people that came to work for him, they always know. Like, if you're a CPA, they let him know. He lets them know, I have a condition. I'm bipolar. Like, everybody knows. All the lawyers that work for him know. The CPAs know. Everybody knows. They even bring in a psychiatrist to basically monitor his behavior. And he keeps buying. He's buying these companies. He's bankrupting them. He's growing and growing. He ends up buying a bunch of military-style companies. Like, he buys a military company that does. They build portable satellites for the military. Mm-hmm. He ends up starting several small, like, Blackwater-style companies. And I end up in the book. I explain that there's like three of them, and basically it's called Tactical. So I name them all tactical. They all have different names, like tactical strategy, such and such, tactical. So they're all basically tactical. Tactical ends up getting a bunch of contracts in Afghanistan, where they protect convoys of food. They protect, you know, they protect diplomats, that sort of thing.
His company is?
His company.
Wow.
So.
And he's getting paid by the government?
Yeah. Oh, listen, they also do what black bag operations are. The CIA guy goes all
What's
in.
A black bag operation?
Basically, look, so you're a Russian hacker. Okay, you're like a Russian hacker. We have you indicted, but we can't go into Russia and get you. But then you end up going you go to Brazil or something, or you go to Norway on vacation.
Right.
So still, we can't go in there and kidnap somebody else. But what happens is the State Department says, or the FBI or CIA or whoever, they say, look, this guy is going to be in Norway. He's a Russian citizen. He's a hacker. We have him indicted. If he shows up on U.S. soil, there's a $200,000 check waiting for you. So what do they do? They go in. They watch him for a week. And then they hit him with a fucking taser, put a bag over his head, throw him in the back of the van, drive him to a – guy's got two planes.
A bounty.
They throw him in there, fly him back here. They call the FBI and say, hey, yeah, you know, Ivan, you know, Krochkanovsky is here at the fucking airport. Come pick him up. They come pick him up and say, there you go.
Really?
I've seen a lot. This happens all the time in South America. You know how many South Americans that I've met from?
So this was Amadeo's business, was black bagging people?
One of the businesses that his company was in charge of.
His umbrella company was in charge of this business that did
this. Yes, one of them. And you know who the person in charge of his little private military or private – you wouldn't call it a private military. Their private security company was a guy that was a retired Secret Service agent. He's all over. His name's Kevin Billings. If you punch in Kevin Billings, he's all over. He runs a security company. He's a security consultant. Another guy named Joe Robinson, who used to work for Buddy
Guy. This Billings guy, what's his name? Kevin Billings.
Kevin Billings. He ran Amadeo's security company.
Okay.
Companies, yeah. So these guys are running the company. He's also one of the guys that gets arrested in the Congo. Remember the guys? Eventually what happens is here's what happens. In order to fund this insane plan for world domination, he's trying to buy planes and do all these things. Like I said, the planes are like $60 million, right? So $60 million purchase. So he's looking at planes. He's negotiating with the Cypriots to keep the planes there. He's already got Russians. You can't buy an F-14 or an F-15 fully armed. They call them declawing it. They strip all the guts out of it, right? So you can't buy it with missiles or even the missile equipment. But if you fly it over,
declaw the bird.
But if you fly it over to Cyprus,
they can rebuild it.
The Russians will come in, or Ukrainians will come in, and they'll re-put everything back in for you. Now I got fully functional shit. Yeah. So that's what he's trying to do, and he's negotiating with the Cypriots. But he needs money. You can't just take over the world. Not that I think it's. I know it's insane. Not that I think it's true that you could do it. But he thinks you can do it. Even the CIA guy was like, you can't take over the world. It would take generations to be able to pull it off. He's like, the CIA guy said, I've never seen someone as capable and functioning, high functioning as Amadeo that believed it was possible. So what happens is he's trying to buy the planes. He's trying to do all these things. He's negotiating, but you need money to do that, right? He's got a ton of companies, but one of the ways he figures out, how do I get the money to buy all to do all this stuff? Well, here's what happens is, you understand payroll. Let's say your paycheck is going to be $1,000 this week.
Okay.
So the company is going to send, you're going to get $1,000. Mm-hmm. They're going to withhold $200, right, for the IRS. Mm-hmm. So who sends that money to the IRS?
$1,000 and probably more like $500.
Okay, let's say it's $300. So you're supposed to get, so that means the company keeps $300, right?
Right.
They keep $300 from me, $300 from you, $300. He's got 40,000 employees paying $300 that's supposed to go to the IRS. What does he do? He stops sending it to the IRS.
No.
And that's why it slowly grows and grows until it's almost $200 million. And he's using the money to buy planes, to buy all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
He's doing just good stuff, right? And here's the
Hell
thing.
Yeah. Capable.
Here's how you do that, by the way, which is legal. I have a company. All I have to do is report to the IRS. Hey, IRS, we owe you $120,000 this week. We have the money, but we're not sending it to you right now. We're holding it because we're considering going into bankruptcy, or we're going into bankruptcy and you're just a debtor. So I can't, I'm holding the money. We don't have the money to send you, but we do owe it to you. Just like if you're of any vendor that I owe money, we bought a bunch of equipment, we're making payments to you. Guess what? We can't make the payment this month, but we know we owe it to you. Yeah. And you may be included in our bankruptcy.
Right. Okay.
You can't come get your shit.
Right.
The IRS can't do anything. They go, right. Okay, well, just keep us posted.
Yeah.
And so he negotiates with them. Eventually, a lot of the companies, he might owe $1 million, $2 million. He goes into the IRS under the bankruptcy and says, look, we're either going to bankrupt it and you're going to get virtually nothing, or let us get on a payment plan, accept less than the $1 million or $2 million we owe you, accept $300,000 and we'll pay you off over the next year. And they go, all right. Anyways, it's that or nothing.
Right.
So they take it. So he's doing this, actively doing this for years to the tune of $200 million. He eventually ends up backing a political candidate to run for president of the Congo, the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Why?
Well, because the Congo has the largest, I don't want to say surplus, but it has the largest depository of minerals in the world. Zinc, everything. It's got all you know, zinc, what is the other one? God, there's some other
what's the thing in uncut gems?
I forget what he has.
Oh, I mean, you've got diamonds, you've got gold. You've got silver, you've got iron, platinum, probably. But it's also got, you know, there's a metal that's in cell phones that's huge. Titanium, whatever it is. Well, I don't know what it is.
Scrapping cell phones?
The point is they've got tons
of
it. So they
put my neck.
Here's the issue is that because there's these warring factions, nobody can go in and get to it. They've been at war for 40, 50 years.
Right.
Nobody can go in. So you're either going to go in and wipe out the entire population and then just take it, which nobody's going to let you do. Or you hope that eventually the government gets a stable government that's not corrupt. So he backs a political candidate that's actually really almost an American.
Okay.
It's a Congolese that came here, was educated here, became a doctor, and then goes back there, and he goes in and he says, look, I'm going to run your campaign. I'll fund your campaign. I'm going to provide security for your campaign. But once you're president, you have to adopt capital genesis, which is my idea of how we're going to structure the entire economy. Now, he knows that very quickly the economy will, you know, it'll stabilize, and then he'll be able to go into other countries. He also plans on building the largest military in history. He's already negotiating. At this point, he was negotiating with the World Bank. No, not the World Bank.
So what was his plan to do this with every country in the world?
Well, his plan was to go into Africa, and then spread into, you know, whatever, Nigeria and all these neighboring.
Right.
Eventually, he ends up with Africa. Over. He ends up with the whole country. So you've got a continent.
Now we're moving.
Where he's got the president of every country in his pocket.
No, it may not even be the president. He may just come in. The fact is, once he goes into Congo, he's got a security force. He's going to start training these guys and build his own private military.
And just take over the rest of the country.
And just take over. Right. Well, why wouldn't I just – not the, that? Yeah, the whole continent, not the country. He's got
that's
the country.
That's what I meant, the continent.
The whole continent.
That's what I meant, the continent, yeah.
It's not hard to take over one of these companies. There's a guy named Simon Mann who actually – there were actually – Simon Mann had a small security company that came in and actually, I think it was Sierra Leone, there was a rebel uprising or something where they basically had pulled off like a coup and they had, forget exactly, but basically they had taken over the country. Mm-hmm. And he came in and with his 100-some-odd guys takes the whole country back. Like they had taken the oil fields and everything. He comes in and takes, there's a whole documentary on it.
Yeah.
That's what they thought Amadeo was. They thought he was a Simon Mann. That was an issue for them because it was like a year earlier that had happened when he goes into Congo. So what happens is while his guys are in the Congo running this guy's campaign, that by the way, the guy's name is I forget his name. Damn it. Anyway, so his candidate goes from number like 30 down to number 3. Hmm. The other candidates that are running are the current president and the second person in the polls was a general. by the name of Bimba. And Bimba is a general. So imagine if, oh, sorry. Imagine if George, if Schwarzkopf was general of the military and also running for president. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can't do that. What are you doing? That's how it is there. Mm. So this guy has got his own army, and the armies aren't all, like, together. Like, you've got an army, you've got an army. Like, you guys are all under me. And they're like, yeah, yeah, we're under you. You know, you keep sending us money and feeding us and everything. We're going to stay here, and we're going to, you know, it's not exactly like you're saying, go over there. And they're like, well, why would we go over there? Why would we invade them? I mean, it's a discussion. This isn't like it is in the United States.
Right.
So he was running for president. They realize that this candidate is coming down in the polls, and he may end up winning the presidency. So Bimba ends up grabbing all 32 of Amadeo's security staff, and they grab them and arrest them, and they bring them to a military base, and they hold them for 9 days while Amadeo negotiates and the State Department negotiate to have them released. And it's a whole thing. The CIA is involved. Actually, there's a documentary.
Yeah, 9 days in the Congo.
9 days in the Congo. It's on my channel. Go to my channel, Inside True Crime, Matt Cox and Inside True Crime, and you can watch 9 days in the Congo. Huh?
Go
it's
do
great.
It is.
It's great. And you can see Amadeo. There's interviews with Amadeo. He's great. He's like 5'4". He looks like the Little Caesar guy. He's amazing.
Is he taller than you?
No, I think I'm about an inch taller than him. Maybe 2 inches.
Is that what
With a good pair of shoes, for sure I'm taller.
Wow.
So Amadeo goes in. He goes in hard and fast like a prison rape. they try and grab the Congo. They arrest his guys. He has to negotiate to get the guys out. The CIA's involved. It's a whole thing. He hires a bunch of mercenaries to basically fly in and rescue the troops. He doesn't have to do it, but he does actually hire them, and they're waiting to go in. So while this – did I tell you that most of his – this is – I love this. Most of the meetings that he has, like, to arrange these types of things, like, he has a bunch of meetings with some people from Tajikistan? Nice. Because he also tries a coup in Tajikistan. They have their meetings, like, at Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I mean,
it's just perfect. Like, the whole thing takes place in Orlando.
That's perfect.
I mean, it's so fitting for somebody who thinks he's going to take over the world.
Yeah,
so
it is.
After they get the guys back, he also is approached by some oligarchies who want to take over Tajikistan because they're having an issue with Putin. And he's basically, they're trying to get him to pull off a coup in Tajikistan. Tajikistan.
Tajikistan?
I think it's Tajikistan.
Tajikistan?
Tajikistan.
So,
Jerky?
So that's happening. And then, so the other thing is, okay, so look, once he gets the guys back, right? So
he gets him. How does he get him back?
Well, I mean, they basically let him go. Like, there's just so much pressure on them, and they're, you know, they're.
And what is it? They do that to try to, like, derail him running?
Absolutely. Because his guy now ends up taking, like, he ends up running, or he ends up coming in, like, fifth. I mean, the guy was, like, third, and he may end up having won, but now you just basically just decimated his entire campaign. We just took 32 of your Congo guys. So these guys are basically like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
These guys will basically just grab us and shoot us in the fucking street.
Yeah.
So, I like you. I want you to be president. It's not worth me dying.
Yeah.
So,
been real.
His guy ends up getting, I think, comes in fifth. Amadeo ends up being invited to the White House. I've got pictures of him
That's
with President Bush.
That's fucking insane.
Have you seen the picture of him with President Bush?
Yep.
It's not like a photo op. I mean, he's in the Roosevelt room with people from NATO, and they're all sitting there talking, and, you know, it's not a
That's
photo
crazy
op.
Crazy to think he made it to the White House.
The White House.
He's standing there with those people, and this guy's trying to take over the whole fucking world.
You know, and you know, what's so funny is, but think about it, if you had a buddy who said
that
to you.
Is it everybody that's in politics somewhat think, don't you think everybody
not
in
like
politics
that.
Is kind of like him? Not to they're that
little,
extreme.
Everybody's got a little
the,
quirky. Everybody's
the foundation quirky. Of that. Way of thinking.
Look,
I feel like is in some way or another in the people's minds that are in politics.
What, that they ultimately want to take over the world?
Not that they, like, I'm not saying to that extreme.
To that extent, okay.
But like a watered down version of that.
I mean, yeah, I think they all think that, they may all think that they want to make some massive changes. And but keep in mind, he's
trying to dominate.
He's off the rails.
Not
I mean,
run
he's,
the world.
Yeah, he's trying to. He's thinking, look, I'm going to do it economically, or I'm going to do it with force. But it's going to happen. And he's actively look. If you gave me $200 million, I'm still never going to think.
Yeah, I can take over the world now.
I can start invading. I can start invading countries now.
Yeah.
It's not going to – I'm going to go buy some planes. I'm going to get these guys over here. We're going to go in. It's never even going to enter my mind. This is the other thing that kills me about him.
Somebody should give him a lot of money.
He's got hundreds of millions of dollars. You gave me $100 million. I'm going to have a penthouse filled with strippers. I'm driving a couple Ferraris and maybe a Porsche and a Lambo. This guy doesn't do anything. He's driving like a 5-year-old Mercedes.
Is that what you would do with $100 million?
That's a goddamn lie. You're going straight to your hairline.
Really?
One of the things. Well, yeah. And I get one more.
How much money would you spend on the hair?
One more. I just need one more surgery.
$7,000. That's all you need.
$7,000.
That's nothing.
Seven stacks.
Ain't nothing.
Seven racks.
We could probably get that in the chat.
Totally worth it.
Can we get seven racks in the chat for Matt Cox's hairline?
Racks in the chat.
He then ends up. So here's where it goes wrong.
Rats in the chat.
He ends up sponsoring the NATO summit in Latvia, Riga. No, in Riga, Latvia. What am I saying? In Riga, Latvia.
I don't know why you're looking at me. I have no idea.
I was educated in the South. I didn't know there was a
Russian
country
to you?
Name. I didn't know there was. Is that Russian?
I don't know.
No fucking idea.
Sounds Russian.
Okay. Point is that he ends up sponsoring the summit, or part of the summit. He sponsors some of it. While he's there, he ends up going to a cocktail party. He actually meets with the CIA too, but it's too much to get into. At a cocktail party, he ends up having a manic moment.
That shit hits right.
That?
Oh yeah.
Oh damn.
He ends up having a manic moment where he ends up telling a bunch of people at a cocktail party. They ask him about the Congo and what his plans were for Africa, and he basically tells them he's going to build like a million-man army, and he's going to take over all of Africa and eventually the entire world, and then he says we won't need NATO anymore. So by the time he actually flies back to the United States, they're serving subpoenas on his companies. They're digging in. It takes about a year or so for them to finally come up with something they can charge him with. He won't take a plea. He says, I haven't done anything wrong. I had the right to use those funds, because they realize he's using funds that were held for the IRS. He's saying, I'm allowed to use those funds. And we can argue that out in court. What ends up happening is the U.S. attorney and his gets together with his lawyer, and they get him ruled as a ward of the state, and he becomes... He's basically incompetent, and they give him a guardian. They then send him to a psychiatric hospital where he's drugged, and when he comes back, they convince him to sign a plea, and they say, look, you're going to sign an open plea. You're going to plead to the charges, but we're going to allow you to go in front of the judge and explain the situation. You might get probation or a couple of years. You'll be fine. He's completely drugged out of his mind.
What kind of drugs is he on?
Listen, if you read the transcripts of what he was on,
yeah,
I mean, it just goes on and on and on about, you know, Depakote and all kinds of just ridiculous
stuff.
Did
they give him any psychedelics?
I don't know about psychedelics.
Like any kind of like acid or anything?
How would I know? I don't know anything about drugs.
They wouldn't have listed it in there. I mean, you would have seen it if you would have read it.
I don't know. I don't remember the name of all the drugs.
Give people acid?
What are you talking about? Acid. Charles Manson.
I'm sure he was giving himself acid.
He was giving himself most of it.
What? No, the CIA was giving him acid, bro.
I'm sure he tells that.
How was the CIA giving him?
You don't know about that? MK Ultra?
What are you, bro? What are you?
No.
That's Charles Manson.
Wait till you see the fucking podcast I'm doing next week with the dude who wrote a book about that.
You don't know MK Ultra.
What's that about?
Me?
How the CIA was giving Charles Manson acid?
It was a program where they were giving.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
It's fucked up. Weren't they giving prisoners? Was it prisoners or was it the military? It was both, probably.
It was the CIA. I'm pretty sure it was the CIA.
How do you just give somebody acid?
They were dosing them.
They were prisoners.
Mind control.
Yeah, they were trying. They were doing mind control shit that they were testing on prisoners to use with military people to basically convince somebody just to go kill somebody and like completely drain them of all emotions and all empathy and everything.
See if they can psych them up and just.
Yeah. Yeah. He's on 3,000 milligrams of Depakote daily, 8 grams of Geodone daily, and
cocaine.
Lebital?
Libtard.
Whatever. Daily, 2 milligrams of a sleep-induced agent, which helps accelerate the medication, which is Razamor or Metoriol. Bro, I can't even say. This is all the stuff he's on. Huh. He said he was basically
drooling.
Yeah, it sounds right there. Sounds like a goddamn golden corral of cocktails.
So, anyway, he ends up, the judge... He talks, so then they take him off the medication. They never tell his guardian. They have him sign a plea. Here, sign the plea. You'll get to go in front of the judge. You can explain what happened. The judge will, you know, you probably won't be in trouble. It's not a big deal, but you did break the law. Sign the plea. So he signs the plea. Well, you're a ward of the state. You're incompetent. You were given, they know he was given a guardian. Why are you asking me to sign a plea? I'm not allowed to sign a plea. You know I'm not allowed to sign a plea. They never tell the guardian. You know when the guardian finds out that he signed a plea and was found guilty and sentenced to prison? He calls him from prison 2 weeks after he gets there. Damn. And the guy's like, okay, well, hey, Frank, I'm glad you're doing – what's and he's like, well, let me know when the trial is. He's like, when the trial is? What are you talking about? I've been sentenced. I'm in prison. I got 22 years.
Damn.
So he goes in front of the judge. Wow. They take him off the medication, and they say, go on in there and explain what you were doing, Frank. He goes in there and starts talking about world domination and all this crazy shit.
They just set
him
up.
They set his ass up.
3 days later, the judge is like, look, you're done. Boom, you're done, 22 son. Years. It's so funny, too, because when I was doing the transcripts, like one of the things that happens is the doctor says to the judge, Your Honor, Mr. Amadeo realizes he could face up to 5 years. And the prosecutor goes, 25 years, Your Honor. And he goes, 25 years? So the doctor's like, 25. He's like, we know it can be significant. Anyway, I mean, you read the transcripts, it's hilarious.
Wow.
You know what else is hilarious? Listen. He actually goes to a board meeting one time wearing a Darth Vader mask.
A
board meeting. Goes to the board, puts the Darth Vader, goes in, sits down, and conducts an hour-long board meeting in the mask. And he's so manic and just... off the rails, and you just don't know what he's going to do. Like, nobody says anything. Now,
that's a perfect character for him, Darth Vader.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
That's who he wants to be.
Actually, I interviewed one of the...
Does he have any kids?
Actually, where it sounds like the story's making sense now.
Where do his kids live?
One lives in Australia, and the other one's in Orlando. So, anyway. So, one of the people that I interviewed, one of the guys, one of the CEOs, I think it was a CEO, that I interviewed of his company, he says Amadeo was like a little Darth Vader being followed around by stormtroopers. And I love that that's image. Awesome.
He said should have been the cover of the book.
Should have been the cover of the book for sure.
So then, like, I remember hearing about the meeting, right? Then when I was reading the transcripts, this chick, Edie, her name is, I don't know. Anyway, Edie, she ends up saying in there, she talks about how, one time he came into a meeting wearing a fucking helmet, a Darth Vader helmet, conducted the entire meeting. Heard it. I was just dying laughing. I was like, that's God. So, I mean, I can't get into the whole book, but, bro, it's so over-the-top insane. I think I spit on your mic, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It's so over-the-top just insane.
German
I'm
up.
Actually going to do those.
it's
responsible.
So over the top insane that I can't get into the whole thing. Like, you read it and you go, this, why is this not a movie? Or, look, so when I went to LA, I met with two producers about the book. Like, they were
you in LA last week?
They're like, this is nuts.
Oh yeah,
we talked about it for like an hour. They're like, this is insanity. And the thing is, you can look it up and you'll see.
Cha-ching.
You'll see little bits and pieces of it when you put it all together and realize what was really happening.
I want them to make a movie about its insanity, and I want Jonah Hill to play Amadeo.
No way Jonah Hill can't play.
What?
Yeah.
No. Jonah Hill's perfect for Amadeo.
Jonah Hill?
Jonah Hill's amazing.
Might need like Joe Pesci.
No, like no,
he's too
Joe
old.
Joe Pesci,
because
bro.
Too old. Look, come on. He was probably in his late 30s, early 40s when most of this is happening.
Danny DeVito
in his forties. In his 40s. So how old is? No, Danny DeVito's too old.
Didn't he play the Penguin?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Anyway,
Jonah Hill, Wolf of Wall Street, with like those teeth and everything.
Oh, yeah,
that's definitely
perfect.
Yeah.
When he plays Deveroli, he kills that too.
Yeah, he does.
So I got the after action report from the Congo. I've got the medical reports. I've got all the transcripts. I got
buy it now.
I got the books
that's
on Amazon.
Crazy.
The books on Amazon.
Amazon.com.
It's a great book. It's amazing.
Everybody buy the book.
And it's only 160. It's only 160 pages.
MattCox69@gmail.com. Send some money.
MattCox69.
I love it. So when's the last time you actually talked to Amadeo?
Oh, the day before I left prison.
Really?
Like, I can't talk to him because he's... I mean, I
You're
could...
not allowed to talk to him.
Yeah,
really,
I'm not allowed
right?
to talk to him. I could... I mean, because he's a felon. I could... If I told my probation officer, look, I wrote a book about this guy, I'd like to talk to him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I haven't, and he, you know...
You think he'd talk to you?
Yeah, I think he would. I think he... I know he talks to...
What do you think
to,
he's doing now?
I don't know. I think... I mean, I know he was running... I know he was planning on starting some type of a company or something to do post-conviction work for prisoners. Mm. But I don't know how well that went. I haven't really reached out to him. He hasn't reached out to me. There's a guy named Donovan Davis. Donovan Davis's wife, like I've talked to his wife several times, and Amadeo talks to the wife. So she's like, he's doing good. He's doing that. And you know, but that's it. Like we don't pass messages. We don't really talk because I could call him. Mm-hmm. You know, I could ask her, hey, what's his phone number? What's his? But I would have to ask my PO.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to call him.
I don't really need to do that.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do it.
He's got to be up to something, point. Though. I can't just picture him sitting at home doing nothing.
Listen,
he's got to have
He got 22. Here's the thing. He got 22 years, right? So when I left, he still had 10 years to go.
And then when
6 months,
he get out?
6 months later to a year.
So how the fuck is he out right now?
He got
of COVID?
He got his no. He got it through like the Second Chance Act or something. He convinced the court to basically allow him to serve the remainder of his sentence at home under house arrest because he said that they don't have the facilities to treat his mental illness, so he has to be at home. So they said, yeah, you're right. We can't really give you the right. You know, counseling and drugs and monitoring. So we're going to let you go home, and so you can go to an actual hospital and do that. And that's so he got transferred to home confinement, which is 10 years of home confinement. I've never heard of that in my life.
But it never happens, right?
Never.
That's excessive.
That never happens.
That is pretty insane.
Yeah. It's nuts.
He's the only lawyer to ever do that.
I'm the only inmate I've ever heard that's done that.
And he happened to be both his inmate. He was his own lawyer, right?
Well, he is now. Now he's, you know, once you're locked up, they don't give you a lawyer. You're done. Mm-hmm. Now you're just filing shit yourself. Mm. You're pro se.
PayPal ain't working, bro.
What is the deal? Somebody sent me.
People are complaining that they can't send you money.
Well, that is upset.
Upsetting.
That's absurd. I just sent it to you.
What did you send to me?
My PayPal. So send it to him.
I don't have my phone with me.
What?
What's your phone? I mean, what is the deal? I've got a PayPal.
Would you leave your phone in the car?
No, it's over there charging.
Oh.
I mean, this is my PayPal. I showed you.
What if you have to text somebody during the podcast?
Just copy and you can't copy and paste the link in there?
He didn't send it to me.
Send it to Luke.
I'm trying to. Give me your phone number. Write your phone number down.
Tell it on the chat.
Okay, look.
Yeah, okay.
So that's, you know.
727. 69,
beep, beep, beep.
420. Matt?
688-0493.
Okay, so.
That was a throwback.
Pay.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's not your number.
PayPal.
You know, if I typed it, it'd be all.
So what else did you do when you were out in California?
Bro, the homeless population in California is
I hear it's crazy
out
there right
fucking
now.
Control.
Yeah, because they changed the laws. Now they can actually keep all their luggage out in the streets.
It's ridiculous. Look, somebody told me, and I don't know if this is true, but this is what a guy told me, that they'll arrest you. Like if you steal and it's under $500, they'll arrest them. They take them downtown. They process them. They release them. So every place you go to downtown has an armed guard. Well, I don't know. They weren't armed.
If you steal and it's under $500,
they don't prosecute you. They arrest you, take you downtown, they print you and everything, book you and let you right back out. So every place downtown has they all have guards. They all have security guards.
I went to a weed shop on Melrose, and there was this like 7-foot dude with this giant fucking. He had like a full sized Glock on his hip. And it looked
and
like
just homeless people everywhere.
Oh, one of those mini.
That's a lot of socias out there sitting on the sidewalk.
Oh, I'm telling you. I mean, it's
that's a soch galore.
It's a buffet.
That's a soch buffet.
I mean, this guy figured it out.
Yeah, he sent $1.99.
No, he sent 25 bucks.
$25. Sign a book for him.
Kyle Roberts.
Kyle Roberts paid you $25.
He's $5 short of getting signed a book.
Came through. He almost got something.
Kyle's all right.
Sign a book for him.
He's
going to go AWOL if you don't.
No, do it right now on the podcast.
Yeah, sign it on the camera.
If you want something special?
Like, we want to see you do it on the camera so people can see what they get.
Give the people what they want.
That's Danny. I'm saying, what if he wants something special? What if he says, hey, say this?
Just make it up. Say, hey, Kyle.
Kyle, what do you want him to say?
What do you want me to say, bro?
Yeah, two fucking... hold on.
Hang what? On.
The what?
Was it what they used to? What we used to call Kyle?
Owl?
No, that
Kyle
was
Alberts.
Hey, wait a minute. Does Kyle want It's Insanity, or does he want?
He wants It's Insanity. Of course, that's what this podcast is all about. It's Insanity.
Oh, somebody just dropped $100.
Woo!
The doctor.
The doctor? Oh, my the God. Doctor, Matt, your groupies are blowing it up.
The doctor is awesome.
He's the guy who bought the painting, isn't
he? Did they actually donate it, or did they send it to his PayPal?
Super chat.
Super chat, Hondo. Matt.
Ooh. Oh, that's upsetting.
Kiss you goodbye. Sorry, the doctor.
Thanks a lot, investment. Doc. I just gave him $100.
Don't refund it, please, Doc. We appreciate your support.
He's good.
Keeping
he's
the nightmare good. Alive.
Drawing.
We went skydiving. We went skydiving. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you go to my channel right now, I'll release my skydiving video. I got a skydiving video.
You're going to release it right now exclusively for our viewers?
Sure. Why not? It's Matt Cox and Inside True Crime. Subscribe. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to release the skydiving video. That's a good idea.
That's a great idea. Send a little exclusive bonus.
You don't even have to pay.
You don't even have to knock.
But where's my view videos? I'm going into my.
You don't even have to knock.
This fisting ham in an ashtray
full of pudding.
Oh man, this is. Hold on. This
chocolate is, pudding.
All right, let's see. Unlist, public, save.
Wow.
Unreal.
Wow. Shitbird.
The liquor's talking.
Oh, look at him. Matt Cox going skydiving with a mask on.
Damn.
Did you have to wear a mask when you were skydiving?
Nice. No, just in the plane up. You know, you'd take it off, obviously. Yeah. Here. Bro, that's the worst. When you go right up to that door... And then, you know what the worst is?
You just got another $5 PayPal.
You know what the worst is?
From Kyle Roberts. He sent you five extra.
Fuck yeah.
He said he left the message in the chat, in the thing.
You know what the worst is? The worst is watching the guy in front of you jump. Because you see him go, woo, just he's gone, and you're like,
yeah,
and then
fuck
you,
that.
And then
they
you
just jumped
jump.
Out of a plane.
I have no desire to go skydiving.
Don't care.
Are you serious?
Never.
It's great. Look at that, bro.
No, it looks fine. It looks cool.
Yeah. Listen, I went with the doctor. The doctor's got his own stuff, his own chute. He's jumped like a couple. God, I think he's jumped like 30
Do you
or
think
40
the doctor
times.
Could give you hair implants while skydiving?
Oh my God!
I mean,
could you imagine doing a hair implant operation while skydiving?
They're so sturdy they don't come out while you're skydiving.
You want subscribers, Matt?
Yeah.
There you go.
That shit happen.
All right.
You're all right, yeah.
All right, so what did Kyle say?
He said he left it in the PayPal message. He wants a special message.
Special message. What?
Who wants Matt to go skydiving while getting a hair implant from the doctor?
Okay.
That's pricey. I mean, that's $7,000 for the hair, a couple hundred for the plane jump. I mean, you're talking $8,000 now.
Easy $8,000. And then you got to pay us a couple
to film it.
Yeah.
You guys are something else, man. The hell?
A solid 10.
Does your probation officer know you went skydiving?
What's the jurisdiction up there?
I'm still in the middle district.
I'm pretty sure.
So if you went like 50 miles offshore out into the international waters, would you be allowed to hang out with Amadeo? Or hang out with other felons?
Not allowed to hang out with felons.
Period. Yeah, but if you're in international waters, are you allowed
to?
He's probably not even allowed to go out there.
I understand this. He's saying, well, I don't see what I'm supposed to.
Let me see.
There's no message.
Let me see it, Matt Cox.
Not allowed in international waters?
He's probably I'm not allowed to leave the county.
Oh, he just sent you his address, so you can send it to him.
I mean, you're leaving the state at that point.
You're leaving the nation.
Yeah.
So that's his address. Let's write him a nice little note. Draw him a little picture.
Another hundo from the doctor.
So we're going to do two.
Another hundo?
From the doc.
Another hundo.
I know it's not to him.
Doc, thank you, doc.
No, $100 to the blimp.
It says the doctor comes through for Matt Cox.
Woo! What are you doing? Stop sending money to him. You're sending money to him. What are you doing?
You made $5,000 the last podcast.
This guy's loaded.
Now you're telling everybody not to send money to me?
Yep. It's not sending the money to you. I'm pretty sure he's sending it to me.
I think he knows how to send it to you, Matt. He sent you like $4,000 the last podcast.
He did not. Will you stop saying that? You keep raising the figure.
How much money did you make the last podcast we did?
Honestly, I don't recall.
It was so much he couldn't count. So,
there was a comma in the number, okay? That's all that matters.
So I'm going to two.
There's a comma.
Damn.
Kyle.
To right. Kyle.
You cocksucker.
I'm going to go.
Call him a cocksucker.
From.
Your partner in crime.
Ooh.
Secret.
I want my book signed too.
He said he wants a picture of Danny with a micro penis and a rat face.
Who said that?
Kyle. Most wanted. Okay.
Matthew. Give him all the cheese.
Yeah.
Hold on, Matt. After you sign this, I got a question for you. Uh-huh. A really important question.
Okay. All right.
What's the difference between a snitch and a rat?
What the fuck? What is this a planned question? What is the difference? I don't know. What did Morgan Freeman say?
It doesn't matter what Morgan Freeman said.
I only care about
what Matt Cox says.
Snitch and a rat. I don't think there's a difference at all.
Really?
Yeah. I don't see a difference at all. Why?
Didn't you say you went in a podcast in L.A. and you got in a really
fresh
heated argument?
It actually wasn't a heated argument.
But it was awkward? What was it? What would you call it?
It was awkward because the guy was 300 or 290 pounds and probably close to 6 foot tall. And he was extremely animated. And it could have gone bad. Could have gone bad for me. But it didn't.
So what happened?
He survived.
What did he ask you?
Oh, he got super upset. I mean, he told me he knew my story. He goes, oh, yeah, I know your story.
And you admitted that you were a snitch?
Yeah, I fucking ratted out everybody I fucking could think of to fucking get out of
there. To use your words, you said you cut everybody's throat you could.
Everybody's throat I could.
Yeah.
Could give a shit. Fuck them.
What was that quote that you said?
Fuck them.
Earlier?
What?
Was it the guy, the general, whatever, what's his name?
They said who, Amadeo?
Yeah. It was a quote in the book that
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, be polite.
Anthrax the whole village?
No, be polite, that one. Be professional, and have a plan to kill everyone you meet.
Nice.
Wow.
That's General James Mad Dog Mattis.
James Mattis. Why do I know that name?
He was in front of Congress a few times. He was running, I think he was the military. He was the general who was running, I want to say, Afghanistan. During the surge, I believe. I could be wrong.
Yeah. He looks like a green rectangle covered in medals whenever you see him on TV.
Oh, yeah. He's,
green rectangle?
Yeah.
He's got some great...
Like, you know that Kanye? No, this is like army suit. It's so square.
Like the Roblox?
No, he looks like Kanye West and Lil Pump in that video.
The I Love It video,
but like in military fatigues because he has so many medals they had to expand
Holy
the jacket
fuck.
For him.
Jesus.
What are you reading right now?
Matt's, for people listening that aren't watching,
Matt's on his phone just scrolling. And he's saying things like,
"Oh God, I'm saying there's just a bunch of I've got a bunch in the last three minutes, four minutes.
He's scrolling through his YouTube comments.
Yeah, just comments.
Just comments.
Good comments.
That's cool, Cox. I used to.
Damn, be the a doctor.
Retail scammer.
The doctor's coming through again.
Another hundo.
Another hundo from the doctor.
He said he sent you a $1.50.
I direct. Love the doctor.
What does the doctor do? Why is he out here splurging?
Is he actually a doctor?
Matt Cox Matt Cox becomes Marcus Schrenker. I don't know what that one is.
He's calling you a liar.
Oh, wasn't there another comment too that you said was really interesting about your feet and shoes and what you think people?
Okay, so
think
let's get back to the snitch rat question.
Why? Because you think it's going to bring in some viewers? What is it?
I think it's interesting. I want to know. So, how did it go? You said the guy was really animated. Yeah, he was really intimidating. Why was he so upset?
He was upset because he's a pen guy, right? So he robbed a bank. So the problem
who
is,
robbed a bank? The guy who's hosting this podcast that you were on?
Yes.
Okay. And so, he's like an ex-con podcast, like doing a true crime podcast or something.
Yeah, he does. It's supposed to be fresh. It's like you're fresh out of prison.
Okay.
And it's like, what are you doing now?
Okay, got it.
So he says, okay, so what did you do? And he said, look, you know, you talk for about 15, 20 minutes about what you did, and we'll talk about what you did in prison and what you're doing now. I was like, all right, it's cool. So we start talking. I say, okay, so here's what got me into prison or got me locked up. I start going through the whole motions, boom, 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 boom. He's like, all right. And then we get to the point where I say, okay, and then I got arrested. They're basically going to give me 154 years. They're saying if they stack it, they can give me 154. But that probably wouldn't happen. I'd probably end up, if I went to trial and lose, I'd get probably 32 years. I said, I'm not fucking doing 32 years. I said, so my U.S. attorneys, my public defender says, you know, or you can cooperate. Everybody's already cooperated against you. This is just how it works. You know, this is what's going on. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, what do you mean? And you just got to be interviewed by him. I said, okay, cool. I'll be interviewed. So at that point, he's like, he gives me the look.
Ugh. You're a snitch at that point.
Yeah. Well, now he's realizing.
Because you agreed to cooperate.
Yeah. He's like, ugh.
Yeah.
And I went, that's when I realized, oh, you don't really know my story. You've never really seen my story.
Right.
You're
right.
Saying you have, but you haven't. Right. And then I'm like.
He just saw the views.
Yeah. He maybe watched 20 minutes or something, but he didn't see it. And I realized. I've seen all the guys you've interviewed, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that the guys that he's interviewed, if they cooperated, they skate right over it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He doesn't like to talk about
it. And of course, you're not going to say it. Who's going to say that?
Right.
These guys aren't going to say that. They went to a pen or they went to a medium and they're, I sold this many. You know, if you start doing the math, it doesn't really matter. I got caught with this many kilos and this many and this, all these guys and this and this and this. And yeah, so I did 10 years. Whoa. You did 10 years.
Yeah.
That's a fucking life sentence. But he never goes into any of that. It's never. Right. So I say, so boom, I cooperate. And I said, but then I don't.
A huge ingredient that has to go into that cocktail to make it be 10 years.
Right. And so he sits there and he goes. Well, gives me this look, and I went, "Oh, that's right. Nobody really says that, do they? They don't admit that."
Yeah,
and he's like, that. You know, he's kind of like, "Well, I just don't believe in that." And I went, "No, I understand." I said, "Well, yeah, because I didn't tell nobody." I said, "No, I understand." I said, "Well, you're unique." So, and I try to let's just let's just keep going. And he keeps coming back to it. So you told on people? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, everybody told on me. I said, that's just the way it is. That's what everybody's fucking ratting on each everybody. Oh, I wouldn't tell on nobody. I wouldn't tell on nobody. I'm like, yeah, I understand, but you're unique and you're going to a pen and you're not looking at 26 years. You're a guy from the street. Yeah. You're going to a pen. Mm-hmm. You say something, you might get killed. They're not sending me to a pen. I can't go to a pen. Because he's like, man, if you went to the pen, I go, yeah, but I didn't. Because I can't go to a pen. Because the truth is that they don't send people like me to a pen.
Right.
I go, bro, I'm a soft white guy. They're not going to send me to the pen. And then he was like, because these guys couldn't dare admit that they're soft. Yeah.
Right.
And it's all about just pure anger and toughness and no weakness. And this is a guy who he tells kids, part of it is, well, what would you tell kids? And so he ends up saying to me, what would you tell kids? And I went, I tell them not to commit crime. And he goes, yeah, but I'm saying if they get caught. I went, no, don't commit crime. You won't get caught. No, but I'm saying if they did. You're telling me if they did commit crime, you're saying, read my super chats.
Who?
The doctor.
He wants to know how much has the doctor contributed to the Cox Fund altogether in the last 3 months.
It's not the Cox Fund?
The doctor wants to know how much he's contributed? Fund.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I don't know. It's significant. He bought me, I've got a computer. He's helped me with the computer. He's helped me with the camera equipment.
Wow.
He's the doctor's awesome. The doctor's awesome.
Shout out to the doc.
We went skydiving.
Shout out to the doc.
Heck yeah. We went to dinner a few times.
I
want to
know, what kind of doctor is he?
You know?
I mean, come on. It can't take that long.
He's probably the kind of doctor that has a billboard.
No, he's not. Definitely not. What kind of doctor is he, Matt? I know you know.
I mean, he's... You know, I don't know what kind of doctor he is.
Never asked him that?
I mean, you know, I don't, you know what? Listen, what am I supposed to say?
Doctor Feelgood?
I mean, I can ask him what kind of doctor.
No, I mean, I thought you fucking knew.
No. I do. What kind of doctor? Question mark. Read my super chats, bro. So, anyway.
What if he's a plastic surgeon and you never asked him what he is?
Or he does hair transplants.
Because it would have come up. Because we talked about the hair.
Maybe that's why he's giving you all this money to like seed that idea. Like, let me go just, like spend this money back on the doctor and a little bit more.
Huh?
Like he does hair transplants.
No, he doesn't do
so that. He's giving you this money. Doesn't so do you're gonna go spend it back on him.
No,
that wouldn't make any sense. I don't understand.
I think it makes perfect sense.
I don't understand that logic.
It makes perfect sense.
He's trying to recoup.
When you think about it,
he's trying to recoup. Yeah, I think that's what. Did he message you back yet?
No.
The doc.
No, he's probably playing with his kids or on the computer.
He's
or
in the chat.
I mean, he's in the chat watching the podcast.
So why didn't you ask him what kind of doctor?
He's throwing money at you like you work at Mons Venus.
Woo! I'll show you.
You throw me enough. You put enough money. Yeah, I will.
People really want you to eat shit tonight,
huh?
People want you to eat Danny's poop.
That's what people are saying.
That's been the main topic of the chat.
It's amazing how disgusting these fuckers are and cruel and mean. They say
it's not amazing.
And cheap.
They say horrible things.
They want to see it. They want all the action, but they don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
That's not action. That's disgusting.
Depends on who you ask.
The internet's a weird place.
Man. Fucking place got weird when I was gone.
What the fuck happened?
Oh, what were we just talking about? I fucking forgot.
Okay.
It was getting weird. The guy was like, why would you admit to being a rat or being a soft white guy?
Yeah, he's going on. No, he didn't actually say that. He just keeps going and going and going. He just keeps, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, clearly we're cut from a different cloth. So I said, so anyway, and I'm like, do you want to keep talking about this? He's like, no, what I'm saying is this and this. And he's going on and, you know, I'm saying you with this, you with that. I'm like, yeah. So you saying you're going to get caught. He goes, you're going to get caught. You get caught doing something. Now, first he said, it's your duty as a soldier or something along those lines. And I was like, soldier? He goes, yeah, like if you're a soldier and you get caught and they torture you, you got to hold out so you don't tell on your platoon. And I went, am I a soldier in this? I'm not a soldier.
Have you ever seen the movie Batman? You ever heard of the Joker?
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm taking socials.
I'm taking socials. Right. I don't know about soldiers.
I mean, I just, it always kills me these guys that are selling crack in the park, you know, to pregnant women, and then they get caught, and you think that this guy's not going to tell on you, or he's going to hold strong, nobody should tell on me. You're just a scumbag, bro. You're selling fucking crack.
Yeah.
And you're selling crack, or you're kicking in people's doors, or you're committing fraud, or you're doing scams, and you get caught, and now you have principles. Yeah. You're just a scumbag. Or someone else gets caught.
Now you decide to stand your ground on something.
Now I'm good. You gotta, don't tell on me. I won't tell on you. Are you serious?
That's the line.
You're fucking ripping off little old ladies' pension funds.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Yeah, but we're bros. Bros? Your bro's going to fuck your... There's no street code. Your bro's going to fuck your girl when you're gone and take all your shit.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen.
He's taking your PlayStation.
Right. Right. And that's not, you know... So I remember I said, so I'm supposed to go to prison for 26 years? Yeah, and he was like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm not going to prison for 26 years. I'm not doing it.
Dude's playing Fortnite on your account, on your couch.
His feet on your table.
He's spending all your V-Bucks.
I know a guy. I know a guy that got out of prison and told the guy to go to my wife. He actually sets the guy up. Like, you can stay. I talked to my wife. She'll let you stay in, like, the spare room until you get a job and get this and get that. Listen, 2 months later, he calls, and the wife says, don't call anymore. I'm with so-and-so now. The guy you set up in prison that your wife's going to help out, that you're going to help out. Your wife's been running with you for 4 or 5 years. Now he's fucking your wife. This is your buddy. That's what they're all scumbags.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a guy and you're a stand-up guy and you go to a pen, now I can understand you telling me I didn't say anything, not because I'm a good guy, because you're not, but I didn't say anything because I was afraid that when I went to the pen, they might kill me if I showed up with paperwork that said I snitched on everybody. Right. Okay, I got it. I understand. You're going to a pen. You can't say anything. Mm-hmm. You know what it's like. Mm-hmm. You're going to a California pen. You're just fucking done.
Right.
I'll take the fucking 10 years. So, but the difference is that it's that, or my family's in danger. I know that these guys will kill my family because I know they've killed my family before. But guess what? That's not me. If I fucking told on Danny, he ain't killing nobody.
No.
Danny's not going to bust a grate. The worst Danny's going to do is sue me.
He's ratting.
That's it.
And no, but I have a few people I could pay some money to that would really not make your life very pleasant.
I mean, and
I have a really good friend who I could pay about $500 who would burn your house down.
What?
For five?
A neurosurgeon.
Sounds like
what?
He's
a brain surgeon?
I mean, I guess it's that's what he's
holy
saying.
Holy shit.
No wonder he's got so much damn money.
I don't believe it. Prove it.
Listen, he's got like,
if he could do brain surgery, he could do your hair transplant. That's for
damn
sure.
True. His wife's car is like $150,000. Was it like a Land Rover or something, or Range Rover or something? It was his wife's car.
Wow. What's he driving?
I don't know. It was like in the shop or something. I forget. He's like, yeah,
Rari's in the shop.
Just picked it up. I was like,
the Rari.
It's always in the shop.
So, that podcast did not go well. He was disgusted by me. This really broke my heart, too, because I thought we were going to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
But then he left, and when he was leaving and the cameraman couldn't stop
smiling. Where
did
you guys film it at?
In my hotel room.
Your hotel room?
Yeah, in downtown. It was the Hilton? Hilton
the airport?
Checkers. No. Hilton Checkers in downtown. It's a really nice hotel. So we do the whole thing. They gather all their stuff up. They go to leave. And when they're leaving, this cameraman he couldn't stop smiling. Like he was just, and I kept saying, I go, boy, you're really upset about this. Well, I don't believe in that. I said, well, I understand you don't believe in it, but you know what happens.
Even after you stopped rolling, you guys were still talking about this?
Oh, yeah, he stood up. He's packing up his stuff. I go, you really seem upset. I said it like five times during
really?
The time. I go, you really seem upset by this. Well, I just don't feel right. I would not do that. I wouldn't do it. So I understand. And he's like, you know, and even here's the problem is that when we were on film and we were arguing, we weren't really arguing because he was so animated. I thought, there's a good chance this guy fucking swings on me. and I mean, let me be perfectly clear. If he had swung on me, I wouldn't have survived it.
Right,
I mean,
right,
this
right,
is
right.
A big fucking guy.
We would have been calling the neuro doctor.
he couldn't have helped. The doctor couldn't have helped. I mean, so I'm sitting there. So he's making these ridiculous, giving me these ridiculous scenarios.
What's the doctor saying?
What'd
he say?
He said, you're an asshole for not telling me you were going to be on the podcast.
Yeah, why wouldn't you tell him?
I didn't tell him because... Well, I don't have to fucking tell him this. I can tell him right now. I didn't say anything because why didn't I? I didn't really. Oh, no,
why
did
you?
You told me yesterday.
Yes.
I literally forgot.
I told you Monday,
until
I think.
Earlier. I forgot until earlier today.
I think Monday we decided
like,
to do this.
I got to do like a Nanny's podcast. Huh?
I think Monday we decided to do this. Monday or Tuesday. I believe it was Monday night.
Well, he
was
knows.
So
he obviously
I told Luke
has
right
notifications
after.
I forgot. What?
He's a busy guy. He's flying to L.A. and
He's on Vice now.
Oh, you're on Vice now. Tell everybody how you did a fucking documentary for Vice.
It wasn't a documentary. I'm an expert scammer.
Yeah, you are.
On Vice. So
he's
I'm
like
one
the
of the
John
expert.
Madden of scamming.
So I'm one of the... Listen, it was... That was a pretty bad shoot. Like, I mean, they had me doing all kinds of, like, okay, can you go? Would you mind looking out the windows? And I'm like through the blinds, and I go, like, some kind of peeper. Well,
they
like,
love shooting B-roll.
You know, like, just some, yeah, B-roll. I said, that's a fucking, I'll be a peeper. Let's do this. Come on.
They did a documentary on Lanny Poffo, and he was telling me that they spent, like, 2 full days shooting B-roll. Like him walking through the park, sitting at the on the bench, feeding pigeons.
You don't understand. I'm only. They told me these things are like 3 or 4 minutes long. They're like, you're literally only going to be on camera for a minute or two on 3 different episodes. It took 6 hours.
Yeah.
Damn.
So.
That's professional.
So listen, when the cameraman's
like a real
leaving, right?
With matching cameras.
Thank you, Doc. Mm-hmm. Hey, can your doc? Is he certified? Can he install the? Can he install the Neuralink?
I thought you had to watch fucking a game or something.
Got to go
at
watch
nine.
TV.
No, we got the NBA, the last game of the season, the NBA Finals.
Boy, I'm animated.
Last
what
game?
Am I doing, bro?
LeBron James versus the Miami Heat.
Hopefully I'm all like fucking waving my arms and.
Are you watching yourself?
I just saw myself waving my arms.
Get out of your head.
I forget what I was going to say.
You're just so in love with yourself. It's like when you look at yourself, you're just, oh, my God.
What the fuck
it's me.
Is this? Sky, what?
It's Matt.
Huh?
Are you serious? What is this?
All right, should we wrap this up?
Buy the insanity book.
Buy It's Insanity. This was the shortest Matt Cox
here we go.
Podcast
here
we go. In history. Kicking. Oh, the bourbon's kicking in, kid. We're kicking.
Tell you what.
Oh, check. Oh, okay.
Everybody, thank you. Matt Cox's PayPal is mattcox69@gmail.com.
mattcox69.
You can contribute to his hairline. He needs $7,000 for his neck surgery. Even though I think that hairline looks pretty good, it looks pretty solid to
That's
me.
That's decent.
Very decent.
I think it's better than my hairline.
It's definitely better than mine. I've never seen a hair out of place on that beautiful head of yours.
That's what 7K gets you, huh?
The tan even goes into the hair.
The two of you. You guys are, I mean, with all three of you guys.
Because normally, like, when you get, you know, like, you get a really close fade, sometimes it's, like, white.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, like
your
sunburn.
Tan goes all the way into your
hair. Yeah. Skin. How do you get that tan so perfect?
And, like, in your hair.
Tan?
You dye your hair?
Your scalp is tan.
So, are you 24/7 when you're out in public? Is your hair slicked back like that all the time whenever you go out?
I mean, I don't even know it was slicked back. I just put
very
that.
Well,
you clearly gelled it back.
You don't wear a hat when you pay for hair.
No, I don't wear a hat.
I wear a hat because this is like a luxury. It's a, you know, it's just there. Like, if you pay for it.
Well, you're still young and you have all your hair.
Yeah, I
have. You have a thick head of hair.
Wait, how would you think his, how do you grade his hairline?
Oh, it's amazing. He could, you, listen.
Your hairline, his hairline is farther back than yours.
Well, he's got a good hairline. He's got a good hairline.
Thank you.
He could use a touch up.
And yeah, how do you think?
A little scruffy.
Do you think he needs a surgery?
I not on the hairline, but maybe on the nose and the teeth. This would be wasted money up here. It's a bad investment.
Gotta wait and see if it starts.
No, but
to
how
go.
Do you get the tan? How do you get the tan so easy?
I didn't even
there?
Think I'm tan. Am I tan?
No, like he was talking about how the tan perfectly hits the hairline. It even goes past
it
the
goes
hairline.
It goes in. It like blends.
Probably because it's so thin, the sun hits my scalp.
Mm.
Could be it. Science.
Science.
Damn.
It's crazy.
The solar flares. The UV penetrates the hair transplants and hits the scalp perfectly.
Activates it.
Oh, my God.
All right. I think we've had enough.
Yeah. Well, you got to go.
Well, the game's starting.
Well, we can watch the
who's
game
winning?
And commentate it. It hasn't even started.
Well, who's going to win?
The Heat.
Is that who you want to win?
Mm-hmm.
You want the Heat to win?
I only want the Heat to win because I bet him $20 the Heat would win. And I really like Jimmy Jesus.
Jimmy Jesus. Jimmy Buckets?
Jimmy Buckets, a.k.a. Jimmy Jesus. They're the underdog, and I think they can come back 3-1 like LeBron did versus the Golden State Warriors in 2016. But I think LeBron's my head's saying LeBron's going to win. My heart's saying Heat, please win.
Huh. We'll see.
There's some turmoil.
But I'll probably lose $20, but thank God the neuro doctor donated about $500.
Yeah. Thanks for the chicken fingers tonight, Doc.
Yeah, thanks, Doc. We're eating chicken fingers. It's going to help pay for Matt Cox's dinner because I always pay for Matt Cox's dinner at the podcast. Matt Cox, any last words?
Buy a book. And sign and subscribe to my channel, Matt Cox, and
Inside True Crime.
Books on Amazon.
Danny's gonna put it in the link.
Yep.
Put the link for the But in the description, fuck, bro, I'm so tired.
Shark in the housing pool? Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ, what a dick.
You know, I know. What a, you know.
Hold it up. Hold it up so they can see it.
Shark in the housing pool.
Just throw a book at him.
He just threw it.
Shark in the housing pool and It's Insanity.
And boom.
Who just did this?
Buy some shit.
Buy it, motherfuckers.